Well, good morning again. It's great to have everybody here. And I love the scripture that Tiffany led us out with, because that's actually the scripture that God put on my heart to lead us out with today. And the name of the message is Embracing the Potter's Wheel. And the scripture is in Isaiah. See how God works? He speaks to us. He speaks to us that way. And she quoted the exact scripture, and it's beautiful. It says, "O Lord, you are the Father, we are the clay. We are all a work of your hands." Beautiful, right? You know, when I read that scripture, you know what I got a picture of? How many of you have seen Ghost? The movie Ghost? With Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze, a beautiful love scene, right? Where he is surrounding her with his arms and she's got her hands on the pottery. It's a picture of love. It's a picture of protection. And so it is with God the Father. That's how he is with us, as he's molding us and shaping us into all he's called us to be. We are his creation. As it said, we are all a work of his hands. And we are unique in the way that God has made us. We're very unique in the way that we look. We're unique in our personalities. We have different giftings. And we're all beautiful in his sight. So look at somebody and say, "You're beautiful." Now tell me I'm beautiful. We're all beautiful in his sight. Yeah. I love that, right? It sounds so good to hear, right? And that's, we are beautiful because he made us exactly the way he wanted to, you know? Now, the name of our ministry is called The Spa because it is a place that we can come to become spiritually refreshed and renewed. Now, years ago, my first job was in a health spa. And I used to give exercise classes. And besides giving classes, what I would do is I would measure the women. And I would notice that the women, for the most part, they could have these gorgeous bodies, perfect. They would be focused on the one thing that was wrong. Their thigh could be 1 inch too big, and they're going, "Look at these thighs," and da-da-da. So with seeing that so much, I said, you know, I'm going to try not to do that. So my biggest figure flaw, right, that was when I was 20 and still is I have a flat rear end. I don't know if a J-Lo I am not, you know? And I mean, I have to bring a pillow to a football game. But it was easy for me not to focus on it. You know why? Because it's back here. And I don't even have to look at it. I don't even notice it. Now, I'm sure you're all going to notice it when there's Sunday. You know, she does have a flat rear end. But you know, bottom line, what I'm trying to get across to us is none of us are perfect. You know, and you don't have to be perfect to be beautiful or uniquely made, you know. But I want to teach us as women not to be as hard on ourselves, because God chose us. Say that. God chose me. Isn't that awesome? He chose us. Yeah. It says it in John. This was Jesus's words. He said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might bear fruit, fruit that lasts." I remember one of my first messages, I did it all on the fruit. And somebody came up to me at the end and said, "What's fruit? You know, what is this fruit?" You know, so, I mean, what fruit is equipping us to do God's work. What fruit is the presence and power of God in us to equip us and to empower us to be effective in all that we do. What fruit is that we have a purpose to fulfill in our day-to-day lives, and he will equip us. That is the fruit in our lives. But again, we're not perfect. We have to realize we're not perfect. And God calls us imperfectly. I mean, bottom line, we're all a bunch of crackpots. We are. So now look at your neighbor and say, "You're a crackpot." Now tell me I'm a crackpot. A crackpot with a flat rear end to boot, right? But, you know, but you have to realize, too, you don't have to be perfect. Sometimes people think they have to wait till they're perfect for God to use them, and that is not true. God will use you right where you are. And it brings me to remember the woman that actually led me to the Lord. Now, he chose me. Now, because he chose me, he had to come and find me. He had to pull me out. Nothing is by accident in this life. So I was a bartender, you know, and I worked in a restaurant. So he sends this chick in, right, that used to come in with her company, right? And so she'd come in early, and she would talk to me all about her church. And it was this particular church, the same church family I'm in. And, you know, and she would ask me things about my faith, and then she would proceed to get smashed. I mean, obliterated. She wasn't like a quiet little drunk. I mean, she was out of her mind. Like, everybody was trying to calm her down. She was totally over the top. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with having an alcoholic beverage, because I don't believe there is. Because one of the first things that Jesus did, what was the first miracle? Anybody know what was the first miracle Jesus did? He turned water into wine. So there is nothing wrong with that, but there is a difference between being, you know, totally intoxicated. So anyway, this would happen again and again. You know, she would be talking very nice, and then, bah, she would turn into this wild thing. Anyway, but then one day, I said yes, and I came to church, and the rest is history. The rest is history. You know, I opened my heart. I made, you know, Jesus the Lord and Savior of my life, and my whole life was changed. And God used her. I was the fruit in her life. But then the beauty of it is that he used me then to be an example to her. Because God will do that. He divinely puts people in our lives in order to help us and change us and influence us. And I was a catalyst in her life. Because like a good, you know, 20 years ago, I was definitely addicted to alcohol. Dawn, was I over the top in my drinking activities? Maybe. Just a little, you know, just a little bit. But, you know, God set me free. Jesus set me free from that. He set me free like 18 years ago. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And then the beauty of it was with my friend that brought me, he used me as an example, and then she was set free, and her whole life turned around. It was a divine appointment. God came and got me. He says, I know where she is. I'm coming in there, and I'm getting this girl, and I'm bringing her out, you know, and he did, you know, and so, you know, she became my fruit. Isn't that beautiful? You know, we're predestined to be together. Now, again, I want to get it across. It is not a sin to have a drink, but there is a difference between being and being drunk. Unless, of course, you're drunk in the spirit. Has anyone ever been drunk in the spirit here? Yes. Well, the first time I heard about it, when I heard drunk, I'm saying, I'm in. You know, I'm in, man. You know, this is something I know about. You know, I don't have any practice in this, you know. Well, I'm telling you, it is awesome. I mean, what it is, it's pure joy. The Spirit of God is in us. It's pure joy. It's giddiness. It's uninhibited freedom. The kind of things that you do, because when you drink or something, you're trying to get the uninhibited. You want to be, hey, man, I want to let go. Well, that's in us, and that's there for us. It's awesome. If you want to hear a cool, really great story, talk to Joyce later about how God put us together. It's just beautiful how we were really just, wow, the joy of the Lord hit us tremendously. In fact, I'm going to tell it. We were on our way. This woman was diagnosed with breast cancer, right? Diagnosed with breast cancer. And it came on my heart that I would be together with her through this, you know? And so we were going to the surgeon, going to hear all about what the surgeon was going to do. I come there 45 minutes before to be with her, and we're praying, and the two of us were filled with joy. On the way to the doctor's office, was the peace of God all over you, honey? There was not a care in the world. We were giddy. It was hard to even get, she was almost afraid to let me drive. I'm bad enough sober, never mind drunk. I mean, we were just, it was beautiful. I mean, and that's there for all of us. That's there to tap into in the Lord. Man, that's good, right? God is good. All the time. It's tapping into the Spirit that is within us, you know? Now, the Lord says, God said that we are being transformed in his image. Isn't that beautiful? And I'm gonna quote from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Paul has said this. We are being transformed from glory to glory into the image of God. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? That, like, as women, we spend a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of energy on the outside transformation, right? I mean, it's awesome. You know, you get a new hairdo. Do you like my new hairdo, by the way? Yes. You wear a new way of doing makeup. You work out. Now, I know it makes you healthy, but let's face it. Are we doing it to be healthy? Are we doing it because we want to look buff? Right? I mean, and that's good. It's a rush. It's a rush to look in the mirror and you like your new do. But there is nothing, nothing that compares with the joy of when you see transformation that starts to occur on the inside. Because we all have flaws, character flaws. We all have weaknesses, all of these things. And all of a sudden, you'll wake up and it's gone. It's gone because God is transforming us. He's transforming us. And that's the beauty of what happens in our lives, because he's molding us and shaping us every day of our lives. And what he does is he uses circumstances and people to bring these flaws to the surface so we can see them. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. You can think, I'm saying, God, I'm supposed to get better. Where's the transformation? Because sometimes you have to get almost so bad, and that's when it'll happen. Yeah. Now, unless you don't have any flaws, and then maybe your major one is pride. You say, well, I don't have any flaws, you know. But God, the point is we're being transformed. And nothing that happens in this life is an accident. That woman coming there, you being here, nothing is an accident. And we have to realize that God uses all of these circumstances, all of these people. He puts us in each other's path. You know, like Lucinda, she is my Jersey girl. That is not an accident. God brought her here. She walked in here and she said, this is where I belong. Right? This is where I belong. My Dawn, she's my child. That was not an accident. I mean, that was God's, one of the greatest gifts that I've ever had is my child. You know, and she's, yeah. If I start on that, I could brag for half an hour about my child, right? And then she could spend the next half hour bragging about the kids or my grandchildren. But anyway, God, you know, a lot of times we try to pray away difficulties. You know, it's good to pray, and God will take them away, but sometimes he doesn't. You know, sometimes he wants those difficulties. He's going to keep them there to mold you and shape you into what he's calling you to be. That's what can happen. I mean, you can't necessarily pray away that person at work that pushes your buttons. You can't very well, not necessarily, you know, or any circumstances, all the things that you're worried about. I mean, sometimes he lifts them, but sometimes he doesn't. Because he's using them. He's using them to mold you, to shape you, into developing your character, developing your... He's more interested in developing our character than changing our circumstances. He's more... Rather than taking away the things that are around you that you're worried about, he's more interested in you trusting him in every circumstance. More interest in the joy will fill you in the midst of all of that. Like it filled Joyce the whole time she was going through her cancer treatment. The joy of the Lord was with her. Yeah. Why? Because that's what he's looking for. He is the potter and we are the clay. Yeah. Man looks on the outside, but God, he sees the heart. He sees our potential. He sees what he is transforming us to become. And one of the ways he transforms us is through his word. Everything in the Bible, every word is God-breathed. Every word is God's instruction to us. And he uses that to transform us. I love the word of God. I mean, once I got a hold of that, it's like, yes. Because it's God speaking directly to us. That's what it is. Now, in Ephesians, I found this scripture. I think it's a great scripture. Ephesians 5:26. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water of the word. Now here, the word of God is referred to as water. Now the blood of Jesus, we already know, Jesus shed his blood to wash away our sin, for the forgiveness of our sin. Now the word of God, you know what that does? The water of that, it cleanses our mind. It cleanses our thoughts. Wow. You know, daily we take a bath. Why? Because we get dirty, right? So daily we need the word of God, right? To cleanse our mind, to cleanse our thoughts. Now what happens if you go days without bathing? Right? I mean, you stink, right? You will start to stink, right? I mean, eventually. And what happens if you go days without the word of God? You know what happens? Stinking thinking. Yep, your thinking will start to stink. Now, what is stinking thinking? If I can get that, stinking thinking. What is that? It's anything you're thinking that doesn't line up with the word of God. God is the potter. We are the clay. Now, what makes clay soft? Water. Right? So when you're taking the Word of God, when right now you are getting softer from hearing the Word of God. Anytime you go to the Word of God, it's cleansing your mind, it's cleansing your thoughts, and it's making you softer so that you're more pliable in the potter's hands. And what thinking thoughts will do, they'll harden you. You'll be less pliable. So the key is the Word of God. The key is the Word of God. Wrong thinking will just get you off. You know, it can get you stuck in the past. It can get you stuck even in a habitual sin. Does that ever happen to you? Maybe in the past or maybe still. Sometimes you can get stuck in this habitual sin that you can't break out of, you know. But stinking thinking is thinking, I'll never be set free from this. I'll never stop this. I'm always, how many times can I repent and God's going to be tired of hearing me repent? That's stinking thinking because that doesn't line up with God's ways. I mean, and how do we resist temptation? Through the Word of God. Because that's God speaking to us, and there's power in it. Now, we all know the Lord's Prayer, right? We're all very familiar with that beautiful prayer. But you, even though you know it, are you applying it? Now, you can apply it in a way as you pray, God, deliver me from evil, Lord God. Lead me not unto temptation, God. When you say that, so you feel a temptation, you say, God, lead me not unto temptation. Deliver me from evil. He will never lead you into temptation, ever. So when you experience that, you have to grab a hold of that, grab a hold of him, and have him take you away from that. Does that make sense? You know, another scripture I love is in Titus. It says, it's the grace of God that teaches us to say no to ungodly behavior. No. What is grace? Grace is empowerment. It's grace will empower us. You know, I mean, why does God call crackpots? Why? So he can show himself strong in. Praise God. It's his strength that will empower us. It's his grace that will cover us. Yeah. And again, not to worry because you're only stuck if you think you're stuck, right? God is here to set us free. Now, another thing, how about women? How are we with our mouths? Do we have trouble with our mouths? Men too, but women, right? Do we have trouble? How many times have you said it to your kids or did I ever say this to you, Dawn? Probably, you know. If you keep that up, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap, right? Have you heard that expression, right? I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap. Well, we can do that on our own, right? You know how we can do it with the Word of God. You know, what does the Word of God do? What does it do? It washes, it cleanses our what? Our thoughts, it cleanses our minds. So you can work with God by, say, taking a scripture and praying it. Say as you start your day, one of them is Psalms 141:3. You can pray this, God, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil so that I take part in wicked deeds. Praying scripture, it is powerful. Why? Because we're partnering with God. We're saying, God, I don't even want to desire those things. Take that desire out of me. Has anybody had God take a desire out of you that you used to have and he's just said no more and you don't even want it? Does that happen to anyone? Yes, yes. And he did it. He's done it with me. In more than one occasion. You know, David was a man after God's own heart because, not because he was perfect, we're not perfect, but because he cried out to God for his strength, right? You know, and when you pray these things, again, every day we bathe, and we need to bathe ourselves in the Word of God. And what'll it do? It'll cleanse our, say it, mind, and it'll cleanse our thoughts. And what'll it keep us? Soft. The Word of God will keep us soft, right? Now, it's not a certain formula. It's whatever works for you. Now, one of the things I love, it's in Psalms, and that I pray, I say, may the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight, my Lord, my rock, my Redeemer. So when I say that, I'm giving him permission. God, come in. You know, there was a song, Change My Heart. Oh, God, I won't sing. But, you know, I want to be more like you. No. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm saying that to him. You know, and you can find something, and then that's how you wash yourself. It's like daily. You are cleansing and washing. That's what the Word of God will do and get you ready. Make yourself soft, right? The other one I love, it's in Psalms 2, is search me, Lord. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts and see if there's any offensive way in me, Lord. Lead me in your ways. You know, when you pray that, that's how David prayed. That's why it wasn't that he was perfect, no, but he had a heart after God. And that's what God's looking for in us. Our biggest weakness can be the kind of thing that'll draw us the most towards God. You know, it's proud people. They don't need anything. It's the one that's struggling that'll keep crying out, and he'll always be there. He's molding us, shaping us, transforming us into all he's called us to be. Isn't that awesome? Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen? Amen. And he takes uncomfortable situations to do that. He's developing our character. He's trying to heal us. He can put situations in to remind you of stuff from your past. And you're like, ugh, you're all uncomfortable. Only because he wants to set you free from that. He's here to change you, to mold you and shape you, and to have, live in a freedom of all you can. I mean, for instance, you could have someone in your life, or a few people, they aren't treating you well. Right? It could be that. Or, you know, you're not getting your own way. Please. That's one I like, getting my own way. Right? Or you're overwhelmed with worry and you can't take any more in. Right? Or it could be jealousy or impatience or selfishness. And what will happen is he'll use circumstances and people to bring out the absolute worst in us. Have you seen that? Have you ever known somebody bring out the worst in you? Yeah, and you're praying for them to change when all along God's saying, it's you I'm after, girl. It's you I'm after, that I'm ready to change. He can use anyone. He can use your husband, your child, your cousin, right? Your daughter, you know, a friend. He can use somebody in church. Now look at each other and say, you're a crackpot. Yeah, we're all a bunch of crackpots. That's where it is, right? Now, moms with our kids. How many times, I mean, if there's something that's really going to bring it out, can you agree? Kids, the children, right? I mean, they're pulling at you. They're like, let's face it, they can be very selfish. You know, I mean, what am I supposed to be all about, you kids, right? And they're pulling at you, and they think you can become impatient, you can angry, all frustrated. They're not doing what you told them to do. And sometimes you blurt things out, and you wish you hadn't. Does that ever happen? You say, oh, I wish I could take it back. But we can't, you know? But you can start to guard. Today is the day of a new day. It's always a brand new day, right? You can ask the Lord, put a guard over my mouth, right? Put a guard over my lips, Lord God. Write me the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth. Be pleasing. Yeah, and you learn sometimes to slow it down enough to get to them just through just the gentleness of a touch that's just again and again and again. But God uses all of these things to bring it out. And we take a breath. Sometimes all you need to do is take a breath and say, God, mold me, touch me, right? Yes. We are all a work in his hands. And you know what scripture, another one I love, you can tell when I hear his scripture, it's like, yes. It's all things work for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes. It's found in Romans. He didn't say some things. He said all things. All things. So whatever's happening in your life, God is going to use that to help transform you, to help build character in you, to help teach you to let go and let God, to help you trust him. But you have to embrace it. You have to embrace it and not wonder. Say, I don't know why, God. I'm going to try to pray it away, but if it isn't going, teach me what you want to teach me, God. Mold me, shape me, transform me into your image, that we be more Christ-like every day. I mean, it could be not getting your own way, right? It could be in a situation where you're just not getting your own way. I mean, I minister to the young women that just get married, and it's a rude awakening. What do you mean I'm supposed to submit to my husband? I want to get my own way, you know? But that's God's way, you know, is that we submit, and then the man in turn learns that he serves the wife. You know, this is what works in marriage, the way the Lord would work. And, you know, sometimes we just aren't getting our own way, and we have to learn. We're not in a position to have it our way, and we have to learn to submit. God could be teaching you that. Or maybe someone's just not treating you right. right? You could be in something where they're not treating you properly, and you could be praying, change them, get rid of them, get them out of here, right? But maybe God is teaching you how to be bold. Maybe he's teaching you how to set perimeters. Maybe he's teaching you how to speak the truth in love and defend yourself, right? You know, so whatever's happening, God is using it. Now we have, in the Old Testament, I'm going to say that scripture again just to bring us back to it. In Isaiah, it was, O Lord, you are the Father, we are the clay. You are the potter, we are all a work of your hand. But once Jesus came, everything changed. He added something new to that. And 1 Corinthians, Paul spoke of this, and this is what it said. But we have this power in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Isn't that amazing? I'll never forget the moment I realized the very presence of God is in me. The moment you open your heart to the Lord, the very presence of God comes into it. The power of God comes into us. Now, Moses, David, who I've spoken about, he did not have that. God was molding him and shaping him out here. But before Jesus, that was not the case. But anyone who opens their heart and receives Christ, the Spirit of God comes into us. It is Christ in us. You know, there's a difference between saying, okay, scripture tells us that, and that sounds good, and knowing it. Yes. And knowing it. And I know it. And once that happened, it was like, yes, God. Because you know there's no stopping you. You know, all things are possible with God. It's not about us, it's about him. You know, he wants to empower us. Again, he uses cracked pots that he can show himself strong in. Right? That's what the scripture says. We have this power in jars of clay, or the jars of clay, show that this all-surpassing power is from God. It's from him. And he wants us to step into it and use it, right? For his glory. Now, another manifestation of the fruit that comes into people's lives is the fruit of the Spirit. And what this is, it's virtues that are in our lives. All the different virtues that's in Christ, that is inside of us because he is in us. And they are love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. Every one of those virtues is in us. Now, the first one is love. Now, this is the agape kind of love. It's not the kind of love that I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. You know, we can love like that. But the God kind of love is in us. The kind of love that it's all about them and not about us. Yeah, that wants nothing in return. It's the kind of love that can turn the other cheek. It's the kind of love that can forgive anything. Does that seem impossible to you? But no, because Christ is in us. And he wants us to forgive. He wants us to be set free. He wants us to live in that kind of forgiveness. And that is in us. Because Christ is in us. And I mean, that love, it was he who hung on the cross, who looked down, who when he was crucified, when he was hanging there in pain, and his words were, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That he's in us. So we can forgive. Have you ever forgiven someone and felt that weight go off of you? It's awesome. He can set us free from that. That's one of the reasons he will use. It's joy. Pure joy. Pure joy. I sent it on Facebook. I don't know anybody saw it. It was the cutest picture. It was a video of this baby, right? And he's in the tub. Cute. And his dad is blowing bubbles at him. And this baby's, his baby is just filled with joy. You ever see a baby and the joy is erupting out of them? That's there for us. That kind of joy is there. That's in it. It's love, it's joy, it's peace. It's the peace of God that passes everything that's going on. It's the peace that kept Joyce the whole time she was going and getting treatments for cancer. It's the peace of God that will help us. Sometimes you've got so much worry on your plate and so much circumstances are coming at you and you're praying and it's not going away. Maybe because God wants to get you to the point that you'll tap into that peace. You'll tap into that peace. He says, you just can't worry anymore. You're saturated with worry. You got to do something else. So you tap into what's there all along. You know, Jesus said, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Give all your requests to me, and the peace of Jesus will guard your heart and guard your mind. How do we cleanse? What's stinking thinking? Worry. I'm a worrier, you know, so I really have to do a lot. You don't have to, because the Word of God will take it. He wants us to trust Him in every way. Isn't that awesome? Yes. Isn't that awesome? All things work for the good. You know, one of the things that I love, one of the scriptures, again, me and my scriptures, but I find them and I love them. And this is the one in Corinthians on love. And it says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not easily angered or self-seeking. Love keeps no record of wrong. So you can imagine how excited I got when I went to the dollar store and found mugs for my Bible study with the love scripture on it. I'm like, yes, they're perfect. So I load my cart up, not leaving any for anyone else. I'm thinking, I want them all. I load it all up with my love scriptures. I get to the line, right? There's this chick behind the counter, and she is slow. And I'm standing there, and my foot's tapping, and I'm getting more and more impatient by the minute. She's slow, you know. And then all of a sudden, they'll open up another line, and it's the proper protocol for the first person in line to go there, which was me. So I'm ready. I'm like, okay, I see it at the corner of my eye. Someone is trying to beat me to it. Well, I just barrel through, right? Barrel through. I get there. Oh, I'm here, you know. And the chick behind the counter is looking at me like I'm a big jerk. Well, what I had barreled past was this little old lady with a walker. I mean, I didn't run her down, but I mean, you know, I'm like, please. And here I am with my little love mugs. And I'm, you know, love is patient, love is kind, you know. I'm running over little old ladies in the market, you know. But what happened, right? I'm talking about good, you know. The Word of God, it cleanses our mind. It cleanses our thought. I just read the scripture. I practically know that one by heart. What happened? You know what took over? Stinking thinking. It's the stinking thinking. Because I felt the emotion, I felt impatient rising up. But my brain is what fueled it. Like, what's wrong with that girl? Maybe she's new, and if she's not new, she's probably incompetent. You know, why is that woman asking for a price check? It's a dollar store. Everything's a dollar. Everything's a dollar here. You know, what's going on? You know, so that's what fueled it, right? Emotions are like a wave. You got to jump off that wave or it'll get bigger and bigger, right? You know, and how do you do it? You know, patience is in us. When Christ is in you, that's in you. You feel it coming, you say, Lord, give me your patience. Let the patience that's in me saturate my soul. And just keep repeating that. You know, love is patient. May that be true of me, Lord. Now, that wasn't an accident that happened. He was saying, you think you're so cocky with your love mugs, kid. Let me show you. You know, but I remember that. I remember that, you know, and that's good, right? We have to practice His presence that's in us. So we practice patience. Now, another thing that really will do it, oh, yes, driving in Jersey. Driving in Jersey, right? You know, love is not easily angered unless someone flips to the bird, right? If that, you know, or cuts you off, right? Or say you're trying to get off and you've been waiting in that long line to get off, and then someone has the nerve to try to come in, right? And you're like going, I'm not letting them in. They're not getting in here, right? Yeah. Right? So this does it. It brings it all out in us. But we have to just take a breath. What will fuel that? It's our thinking. We have to practice. Practice not getting easily angered. Practice being patient. Now, personally, on the road, I get a great deal of practice because people are always flipping me the bird. I mean, Dawn, are people flipping me the bird? Do you know why? I never did. I don't know why. Raquel, do people flip me? She's driven. People that have driven with me. Usually, only once they let me drive, right? And then they take over. Anyway, so I get a lot of practice on the road. Or how about traffic? You're going along, you're a happy camper, and traffic. What happens when you get in traffic? You feel stuck. You're frustrated. There's no way out. You feel hemmed in, you know? And again, it's your thinking, you know, that'll keep you stuck, right? I mean, you could turn on the music, you could, you know, talk on the phone, you know, put on the speakerphone, but if you think you're stuck, you're stuck, right? Whether you think you're stuck in a season in your life, whether you think you're stuck in a job that you're in, whether you think you're stuck in a relationship or the memory of a relationship, when you think you're stuck, you're stuck. No, we are never stuck when we are on the potter's wheel. Why? Because the potter's wheel is always moving, right? And God will use all of these things, right, to just mold us and shape us into all that we are called to be. We need to learn to live in the moment, not longing for what's ahead. No, or living in regret for what happened yesterday. We can't change yesterday. We got to live in today and embrace the potter's wheel and just make the most of this season in your life, because it will never come this way again. This is the day he's made, and this is the day we have to embrace to the fullest and have him mold us and shape us and use us in every way that he wants. And you're only stuck if you think you're stuck. And if you think you're stuck, you're going to keep going around that mountain again and again and again. No, but we're free. He that is free in me is free indeed. We are free. Yeah. I mean, one of the things, too, about God, you know, if you don't pass the test, you will get to do it again and again and again. I mean, he'll keep giving it to you, you know what I mean? You don't have to, you know, but, you know, if we embrace him and we can quicken it, the more we surrender our lives, you know, Jesus said these words, I love it, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And you know what the truth is? These were Jesus' words. A man must be born again to see the kingdom of God. Yes, that is what it is. It's a divine connection between ourselves and God through Jesus. You know, I love this part of scripture. It's in 2 John, and it talks of Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee, and he came to Jesus asking about these things. And, you know, this is what Jesus said to him. These were his words, very clear. He said, a man must be born again, you know, to see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus was like, what are you talking about? What do you mean born again, right? So this is Nicodemus. This is what he says. How can someone be born again when they are old? Surely they cannot go again and a second time in their mother's womb, right? And this is what Jesus' words, so clear. A man cannot enter the kingdom of God, he says it again, unless he is born of water and spirit. Because flesh gives birth to flesh, which is our natural birth, with the water. Any woman that's had a baby, it's that water that comes with it, right? But it's the spirit that gives birth to the spirit. It's your spirit that's awakened. It's your spirit that's reborn. It's your spirit that comes to life when the presence of God comes into you. And what it takes is a personal confession of our faith where you open your heart and you receive all he has for you. It's an intimate moment with God. It happened to me a good 20 years ago, and it goes past denominations. It's not like, oh, it's got to be belong to a certain church. It's not a certain denomination. I mean, my second cousin on my dad's side, she died when she was, I guess, 90. But while she was alive, when I shared with her, you know, that I was born again, she was thrilled. She was thrilled because she knew this scripture. She knew this is where it's at. She knew this is what takes the difference between being and sitting in church and, wow, opening yourself up wide to have that full revelation of who Christ is and what he has in store for you and I. It's an intimate moment with the Lord, a personal confession between you and he. So with all heads bowed, if that is you, and you have want to take that moment with you and him, I want to pray with you a simple prayer of faith, declaring who he is and acknowledging that you are a sinner in need of his grace. So with all heads bowed, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. And in an instant, your spirit will be awakened. And the presence of God can come into you in that moment. If that is you, you've never known this and you want this, just raise your hand that the Lord can see. just raise your hand that he can see. And right in your chair, you can pray a simple prayer of faith. I see that hand. We see that beautiful hand. God says, yes, come that step closer. Open yourself to me. Yeah. And if there's anyone, say, all right, I was connected to God just like that, but I'm far away. I'm not washing my mind in these things. I'm far away. I want to come so close. If that is you, I want to rededicate my life. With all heads bowed between you and God, just raise your hand. Raise your hand this day. Yeah. Yes, we want more. Yes, today is the day. So with all heads bowed, I want us all to pray this in agreement with the ones that raise their hand. So beautiful. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I know you died for my sins. Come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. Yes. And all the people said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You pray that with an open heart. God comes in, and the presence of God is there. Remember that scripture. We have this power in jars of clay to show that all surpassing power, yes, is from God and not from us. So let us pray. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for the ones that open their hearts to receive all of you, Lord. To receive you, Lord, to open their hearts, Lord God, that you are the Lord, the Savior of their life, Lord. And we ask you to bless each and every one today and bless the food that we are about to eat that's nourishment for our bones. And all the people said, amen. Yes. Thank you.